Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Welcome, everyone. As part of this series of programs, we've been making our way through Dr. Jennings' audiobook, Could It Be This Simple? And we've learned so much about who God is and how God acts. Today, and for the next couple shows, we'll come face to face with what Dr. Jennings calls spiritual warfare. And like it or not, we're all involved in one way or another. But don't worry, there's help for us as we battle our sometimes unseen yet very dangerous foe. Here's Dr. Jennings.
Mary's life was out of control when she first came to my office. She had been sexually molested as a child, raped as a teenager, and raped again in her 20s. Now, at age 35, she had a teenage son from a failed marriage and two children under age 5 from her current marriage. During the 8 years before she came to see me, Mary had consulted 5 other psychiatrists for treatment. During that time, she had also visited 12 therapists. The psychiatrist had offered a wide variety of diagnoses for her problems. Schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, also known as manic depressive disorder, multiple personality disorder, histrionic personality disorder, borderline personality disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, benzodiazepine dependence, and unipolar depression. She complained of hearing voices that sometimes told her to kill herself. In addition, she suffered from chronic headaches and multiple medical problems, resulting in her having gone through more than 20 surgical procedures during the previous 8 years. For the past 5 years, much of her life had come to a complete standstill. Unable to cook, clean, take the kids to school, or help with any household chores, she had not functioned as a wife and mother. Her husband was responsible for her care. Additionally, Mary arrived at the emergency room once or twice each week to get Demerol injections for the headaches that never seemed to go away. She had been treated with multiple medications including Haldol, Thorazine, Valium, Elavil, Cinequan, Prozac, Restoril, Vistaril, Xanax, and others she could not remember, all without any improvement. When she first came to see me, she was on high doses of Valium and Thorazine, as well as painkillers for the headaches. Mary had chronically low self-esteem and feelings of worthlessness, all reinforced by lifelong abuse and mistreatment. She had never developed the ability to use her reason and conscience to direct her will to examine and choose the truth to battle her tumultuous moods, feelings, and thoughts. Struggling with persistent guilt, she criticized herself unreasonably. Whenever she encountered difficulty in a relationship, Mary always blamed herself and felt guilty, regardless of what actually had occurred. Although she was a Christian, nobody had ever taught her how to engage in spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is the engagement of the spiritual nature, reason, conscience, worship, to battle unhealthy feelings, lies, misrepresentations, passions, and lusts that take control of the will and dethrone the reason. It is the process of using God's methods to overcome the influence of our genetic weakness, heal our emotional wounds, and restore balance to our damaged minds. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. If you're fighting a war over arguments, pretensions, knowledge, and thoughts, where is that war being waged? In the mind. Spiritual warfare rages in the mind. The weapon we utilize is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, also known as the truth. Because it always leads to God, such truth has divine power. Through its divine power, truth destroys lies, misrepresentations, and distortions. It also restores order and brings healing. As Christ said, "The truth will set you free." John 8:32. it is important to recognize that truth heals, regardless of whether or not one believes in God. The Holy Spirit strives for healing even in those who have not yet formed a belief in divinity. The Holy Spirit moves to bring God's methods and principles to their understanding. If those who do not believe in Him follow the truth they do comprehend, then healing results, and they become healthier and healthier in proportion to what they understand and practice. Eventually, the truth will lead them to God Himself for complete healing and restoration. Paul describes this in Romans 2:13-15. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law, since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. Paul here declares that God is working to heal everyone's mind. Those who haven't heard the truth, as revealed in Scripture, but understand the principles of love and liberty, as demonstrated in nature, and incorporate them into their lives, are cooperating with God for the healing of their minds. The Lord is restoring His image within them and considers them His children. Sergeant Jones, whom we read about in chapter 1, had believed a lie, that God had let him down. The lie resulted in his inability to resolve his war experiences. Recognizing the truth that God had actually miraculously intervened in his life destroyed the stronghold of misunderstanding, fear, doubt, guilt, anger, and resentment that had established itself within him. It set Sergeant Jones free. Consider the example of a man who has stolen from his brother. Guilt-ridden, restless, and uneasy, he no longer has peace. What is it that will set him free from guilt and restore peace, regardless of whether he believes in God or not? It is repentance and restoration. He's experiencing legitimate guilt, and only the truth accepted and applied will overcome it and restore health. By going to his brother, acknowledging what he has done, restoring what he has taken, and asking for forgiveness, he will find peace for his mind. Even if his brother refuses to forgive him, he will have peace with himself because he has a changed heart, a healed mind. The change of heart occurred when he made a willful choice to do what reason and conscience determined was best. He will not have restored unity with his brother until his brother forgives him, but his own self-torment will cease. Imagine you have a garden, one that you have faithfully tended and that now produces a bountiful harvest. What will happen to your garden if you stop cultivating it? Will it continue to bear good fruit, or will the weeds eventually destroy it? In a similar way, our minds naturally bring up weeds, selfish thoughts, ideas, and conceptions. It is Christ who works through the Holy Spirit to plant the seeds of truth in our minds. He then nurtures and protects the seeds, enabling them to grow into the fruits of a Christ-like character. By utilizing the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the truth, we weed our minds, uprooting the lies and false theories that keep us captive, and thus allow us instead to maintain a healthy and productive mental garden. One of the best descriptions of this process appears in Ellen G. White's The Desire of Ages. The Comforter is called the Spirit of Truth. His work is to define and maintain the truth. He first dwells in the heart as the Spirit of Truth, and thus he becomes the Comforter. There is comfort and peace in the truth. But no real peace or comfort can be found in falsehood. It is through false theories and traditions that Satan gains his power over the mind. By directing men to false standards, he misshapes the character. Through the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit speaks to the mind and impresses truth upon the heart. Thus he exposes error and expels it from the soul. It is by the Spirit of Truth, working through the Word of God, that Christ subdues his chosen people to himself. One of the misconceptions, weeds, that impairs a greater harvest of spiritual fruit is the misconception about sin. Many people view it as breaking one of God's rules, and the trouble with disobeying one of His rules is that it requires Him to impose a penalty, the minimum being death. But this is a fundamental misunderstanding about sin, which leads to serious misconceptions about God, distortions that get incorporated into worship and consequently impair the healing of the mind. The real problem with sin is that sin itself damages and destroys. it destroys the sinner and damages others. Because sin mars the image of God within, persistence in sin brings its own punishment, death. Persons who cling to sinful living lower themselves from beings created with dignity, nobility, and intelligence to nothing more than mere animals, mindless creatures of instinct. Reason and conscience eventually disappear, and the animal passions take full control. Many people assume that God hates sin because it involves breaking his rules, which show disrespect toward him. But imagine you're the mayor of your hometown who has enacted a law prohibiting cruelty to animals. As you walk out of your home, someone takes your pet kitten, swings it by the tail, and smashes its head on the concrete. What outrages you? What angers you? Do you scream, "You just broke my law! How dare you break my law?" Is it the violation of the law that outrages you? Or is it the fact your beautiful pet has been killed? That is why God hates sin, because it destroys his creation, not because it breaks his rules. In fact, the rules were set up to help us see the destructiveness of our behavior. Remember when God proclaimed the Ten Commandments? The children of Israel had just emerged from 400 years of slavery. Life in such an environment was cheap. The most minor violations could lead to a slave's death. Living in such a world, the Hebrews had lost sight of the high calling that God had created humanity to fulfill, and they had sunk into an ignorant darkness. Consider how abysmal their condition must have been if God found it necessary to tell them that if you love your neighbors, you won't kill them, nor will you steal from them, ruin their reputations by misrepresenting them, or commit adultery with their spouses. The Hebrew slaves didn't have even these basic precepts in their lives. Imagine sending your child off to school this morning, kissing him goodbye and saying, "Have fun at school today, and be sure not to murder anyone at recess." How absolutely absurd. It would never enter your mind, but if you actually needed to say this to your child, how debased would your child be?
Well, we will pick up right where we left off on our next program. Be sure to tune in. We're spending time with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings, enjoying his audiobook, Could It Be This Simple? By the way, you can hear all of his other readings from that book at comeandreason.com. There you'll find many, many more resources for helping you on your journey of discovery as you come to better understand the God who made us all. There are books, podcasts, television programs, sharing tracks, and even material designed for young searchers for truth. You'll also learn how you can support this ministry and help Dr. Jennings and his team reach the world with the unaltered truth about God's love. That's all at comeandreason.com. Check it out. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.